I want to greet each one. In the precious name of Jesus, it's been good to be here this morning. Been blessed by each part of the service. I'm glad for our home folks, our visitors. It's kind of a unique thing I thought about sitting up here. Last weekend I had my Aunt Marie here. And this weekend, I see another Aunt Vi sitting back there, so it's good to have you here, and all the rest of you. If you want to turn with me to Matthew chapter 13, I'd like to look at the parable there of the sower this morning. And I've titled the message, "It is Time to Seek the Lord." And that comes from the verse out of the verse of Hosea 10:12. "Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you." Start out here reading the first 23 verses. Matthew chapter 13, verse 1. "The same day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow, and when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had not root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground, and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parables of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which hath received seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it, yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. And he also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world and deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that received the seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word, and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Here we find Jesus again with a great multitude. Now, Jesus starts out with this parable of the sower, again, something that they could relate to. My understanding that is in those times that was often the sower went out, casting his seed out by hand. Another way they did it sometimes was to simply put a bag of grain, hang it over an animal, make some little holes in it, and let the animal walk out across. But I think, regardless of what he was referring to here, they could this parable is something they could understand. Parables don't always it's a picture, and not every detail will necessarily may not carry through. But it's something that the people here with Jesus could understand. It's something they could see. You know, Christ himself is a great sower. The seed that he sows is good seed. And the results vary, not because of the seed, but because of the ground, because of the condition of the soil. And sometimes it's the condition of the soil, maybe it may be affected by the conditions or what's around the soil. You know, we are all sowers. We're sowers of something. And we just heard a story about that this morning. Of somebody, some people that sowed, some people that were willing to plant good seed and it brought fruit. But as little Christ, as Christians, we're called to sow the good seed. You know, according to Scripture, not all seed is good seed. Galatians 6:7 says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." So what we sow, what we put out there, matters. You know, the concept that I can do what I want now. I can live my life the way I want to now. Sometime I'm going to change. Sometime I'm going I want to do what's right. But you know, life is too fragile to gamble with. The stakes are too high. You know, you're only young once. We hear that. Why waste it? Enjoy life. You know, in Christ, that is very true. I believe God meant for us to enjoy life. And by sowing good seed, there will be a much greater chance of joy in this life, and certainly a chance of the privilege of joy forevermore in eternity. You know, no one here would argue the point that if you plant thistle seeds, you're going to get thistles. It's not going to have a crop of corn. It won't happen. You won't reap anything but thistles. Those things that are nasty, hard to get rid of. You know, we reap what we sow. Some wild seeds, the effects are, and the are greater than others, are harder to get rid of than others. You know, there's a law. God has laws set in place. You know, we think of the law of gravity. You know, you can take those of you that are into shooting and how flat a gun shoots and how far it shoots. You know, some of you can study, you know exactly how far, the certain gun, how far it'll reach out without dropping, and you know, some of them may go out to 500 yards. We read of some that go a lot further than that. But a couple hundred yards is typically all the further most of us can see well enough to shoot or good enough. But you know, it doesn't matter how good, how flat it shoots, somewhere it's going to come down. It's just the law of gravity. You know, if I come around the platform and I just start walking out to you, if I don't step down, I'm going to go down. I won't stay on this level. It's the law of gravity. You know, the laws that God put into place are sure. We thank God for his grace and his mercy. If it were not for that, we would have no hope. You know, grace, the unmerited favor of God, giving us what we don't deserve. Mercy, not giving us what we deserve. You know, if there's godly sorrow and repentance, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, the story Brother David shared with that man that was involved in all those terrible sins, that a person like that can experience that grace is just... But you know, I need the same grace, no less. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. In this parable, Christ is a great sower. The seed is good. It is the word of God. The soil or the ground is also good. It's all alike. It's in the same field. But the difference is in the conditions of the soil or the conditions that surround it. One thing that we notice here that the seed was planted. It wasn't planted just in particular areas. It was planted everywhere as it went, as the sower went. So we might say there's a lot of wasted seed, a lot of seed that did no good. On the three soils, there was nothing to harvest. Does that mean that we're wasting our time when there's seemingly no results? You know, when we think about the value of a soul, may very well be souls that are saved and rescued by seed that we never find out about in this life. You know, what becomes of the seed we sow, what becomes as little Christ as we share, that's not our problem. That's not, we need to sow regardless. But what we're responsible for is to sow good seed. Scatter good seed everywhere. Anywhere that God calls us, whether it bears fruit or not, that we can see. You know, our hearts, I believe, will match one of these or more of these four soil conditions that Jesus brings out in this parable. And as we look at these different soils, I'd like to challenge us to open our hearts. You know, where do we find ourselves this morning? You know, what is the condition of our soil? What are we doing with the seed that comes our way? Is it fine soil that's fertile? Is it open? Does it bear fruit? The first soil he talks about is the wayside. You know, the wayside is too hard. The seed just lays on top. You know, there are many lives today that are not capable of producing fruit because of being trodden over by too many feet. They're open to everything. They have no barriers around them. They shut nothing out. You know, the Word of God is not the final authority in their lives. They're open to all kinds of, it can be books, whatever we read, all kinds of companions. You know, we had, that was put very clearly in our Sunday school lesson this morning. You know, we can't expect to be rubbing shoulders and to have a lot of interaction with the ungodly, with those that are involved in things that we don't want to be, and expect that that won't have an effect on us. I think this wayside soil lets anything tromp across their field. And the result is that hearts that were once tender, hearts that were sensitive to good influence, became impervious, unmoved, or unaffected to impressions. Now, they may sit under the sound of the gospel, but not hear. They only hear what they want to hear. They see what they want to see. They don't take it to heart. You know, they may be able to talk good, but that's all the further it goes. There's no fruit. The wicked one snatches away that which was sown. You know, I think the lesson here is that we are personally responsible for receiving the truth in whatever way it is brought to us. You know, we can read and listen all we want, but if we don't apply it, if we don't make it a part of our lives, if we don't hide it in our hearts and let it grow, you know, it's like a farm path that's continually being run over, and good seed is not allowed to grow. You know, that path that you drive on or walk on, the cattle trot on all the time, you don't find anything growing there. But that path, if it was tilled up, if it was worked up, would bear the same fruit as the soil beside it. Most likely. Stony soil. The next soil that he talks about is the stony soil. Only a thin layer of fertile soil over the hard rock. You know, it hasn't been trodden on like the wayside soil. It's readily received and begins to, the seed is received and it grows at once. But it never amounts to anything because the soil is too shallow. It can't hold enough moisture. The roots don't get a chance to get down where they need to be to endure the drought. It starts out fine, but the hot sun burns it up. The tender growth lacks depth to its rooting. You know, shallow soil, shallow commitments, moved easily, but little resistance. and it's gone. It's nothing there to hold it. The cost is too high. Impulsive, but not deeply committed. Quick friends, but gone just as fast. You know, we have the example there in the when Jesus came in his triumphal entry there in Jerusalem. You know, if you think of the branches and everything that were laid down and all the glory that was given to Christ there, but that quickly it was gone. That quickly, he was taken to the cross. How quickly things change. Shallow commitment, no depth, lack of purpose. The intentions lack life and energy. You know, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, till he come and rain righteousness upon you. You know, nothing on this soil grows to maturity and bears fruit. You know, that fallow ground has to be broken up. The soil needs the rock broken. The shallow lives need true repentance, a real experience with Christ. You know, it does, like Brother David, he was talking about grace this morning, and it is only for the grace of God. But if that's all the further it goes, if there's not a true change, true repentance so often seems to be totally missed. When a man fails easily, and he repents, and it seems to almost heal himself, and this cycle just keeps going, easily jumps back to grace, you know, I believe we're in a dangerous position. You know, when a person truly finds Christ, there will be change. You know, when Zacchaeus found Christ, he didn't leave his stone unturned. He wanted to do everything. He wanted to have everything cleared up. Nothing there to take away that peace that he had found. He was willing to go all the way. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. That verse, Brother David quoted that, and it was quoted in our Sunday school this morning too. It's a beautiful verse. I believe it shows so clearly what happens when there's a real experience with Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You know, the Apostle Paul knew what he was talking about. He knew that he had that happened in his life on their way to Damascus there, when he was struck by that light. You know, suddenly there was a complete change. He also knows the cost. In Philippians 3:8, he says, "Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death." And we had similar verses there in our Sunday school lesson today. Forgetting all the past, pressing on to that, to know him, that being the utmost goal in his life, to be like him. You know, is that your desire this morning? Is that desire burning in your heart to be more like him? I believe the defining factor in the condition of the soil that Jesus is talking about in this parable is that desire to know him. That desire to not let anything stand between us and Christ. The next soil he talks about is the thorny soil. And I think probably today in where we're living, this is probably the soil that we deal with the most. The soil that I think personally that as I studied this, I think that's the most danger. You know, this piece of soil was neither hard nor shallow, but it was full of roots that hadn't been taken out. The seed began to grow, but there were others growing alongside of it. And these growing faster choked out those new seeds. Choked out the wheat. And Jesus tells us what this parable stands for. He says, "There are the cares and the riches and the pleasures of this world." I had to think of some years ago, it's been quite a few years ago, Brother Joe had a sermon talked about the three P's, power, position, and possessions. And I think that's what Jesus is talking about here. Cares are worries, frets, or distractions. You know, the things that are so, we find that seem to be so important in life. The deceitfulness of riches. The love of money will take people places that they never dreamt they would go. It will make them do things that they don't want others to know. You know, we want to think that that's all outside. You know, that's out there, but, you know, it's not us. It's not me. Jesus says this person, this kind of soul becomes unfruitful. You know, he thinks only of himself, his own things. Cares of this life. You know, how does it affect us when we see somebody that needs help? How does it affect us when, they could have probably avoided that. They could have probably done something different. You know, are we willing to reach out? Are we willing to plant seed when we have the opportunity? Then we have the good ground. This part of the ground was altogether good. It wasn't trodden down. It wasn't shallow or thorny. It didn't have those deep roots down there that were hindering growth. It was plowed. The seed was sown into it, and it grew without hindrance. And by a great harvest waved in the field. You know, this is ideal for good farming. This is what a farmer wants to see, a beautiful crop. Soil that is open. Soil that the nutrients aren't locked up, so they aren't unable to be used by the plant. Soil that absorbs water. You know, there's a lot of focus today on soil that are the fact that commercial fertilizers can actually lock up your soil. Where if it's their soil should be, there has to have the right, I don't deal with fertilizers, so I can't. But you can put things in there to try to make it work so your soil can feed the plants. But you know, to think of that, you know, I believe there's a lot of partial truth being taught today that will also lock hearts, that will deceive us. You know, it may bring a temporary spurt of growth, but in the end, it doesn't bear fruit. You know, we read about big crusades and things where there's thousands of people make commitments, and it's just, it sounds good, and maybe it is. I'm not here to condemn that, but what is the fruit? What is the end result of that? Is it truth? Is it reaching hearts? Are hearts being changed? You know, what kind of ground do you have this morning? Is it good ground? Can the Word of God penetrate your heart? Are you open to the Word of God, to the Spirit's leading? Do we find ourselves like the Bereans? Paul says in Acts 17, verse 11, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. You know, I think that's a beautiful part about our Sunday school class, that the privilege of being able to sit down and discuss scripture and talk about it. Spurs us to thinking and digging. Malachi 3:16 says, then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and thought upon his name. You know, do we talk often one to another? Are we challenging each other? Or what is our conversation when we're together? Is it things that edify, things that build up, or is it an encouragement to each other? You know, when Jesus was talking here, I believe there was a group of people here that wanted to do what was right. But, you know, there was also an opposing group force. And it's been that way all through time, and it will be that way. And I think it's becoming stronger. As long as the world continues, it's the way it's going to be. Chaff and corn on the same floor. I'd like to go ahead and read verses 24 through 43. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence hath it tares? And he saith unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go up and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of harvest I will say to the reapers, Gather ye first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Then Jesus sent the multitude away, and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. And he answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. So Jesus goes on from into another parable, talking about the kingdom of heaven, likened to a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while man slept, there was tares sown in there among the wheat. Well, the sower is Christ himself. You know, he always sows good seed. You know, when he walked this earth, he was always reaching out. You know, he was honest. There were times that he rebuked. There were times that he rebuked sharply. But to those that were seeking, he brought words of comfort. To those that were open, help. He brought healing, words of life. Wherever he found any soil that would receive them. You know what? Where would the world be today without the words of Christ? You know, they have changed millions of lives. From sinful lives of sin to lives of holiness. The Christians are the seeds. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. You know, every born-again believer has become a living seed. You know, wherever a good seed grows, it influences those around him. In the natural sense, you know, a seed, you know, it might be a tree that we enjoy the shade from it. It might be have fruit. Plants have a positive influence. We enjoy the fragrance of flowers and the fruit from the plants, the shade and the etc. We expect fruit from the bearing plants that we plant. You know, Paul talks about the fruit of the Spirit in the lives of those that have received the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering. In the activities in the Christian's life, there should be fruits. In the words we speak, in the things we do, the Christian should be a blessing to all those that he or she comes in contact with. But the parable also talks about an enemy that came and sowed seeds while the men slept. You know, there's an evil one in the world, the devil, that his greatest intent is to destroy the good seed. He's the enemy of Christ. And his work isn't done accidentally. It's done by design. This evil is dropped into lives, into homes, into churches very shrewdly. It says, while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. You know, when men aren't watching, he comes like a thief. He comes when he knows he's not expected. He makes promises that aren't true. You know, that's what he did to Eve. That's what he did to Christ. And he's still active today. Deceit is his nature. You know, he doesn't look out for the good of anybody. Ruined lives, wrecked homes, divisive, false sense of security are his nature. You know, he tries to smother the wheat with worldliness. He scorches it with persecution. He plants artificial seed, imitation seed. Imitation churches. True and false will grow together until the end, and God will separate them. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus gave the picture of the parable of the two houses. They looked alike. They were sitting on the same soil. You know, the Broadway looks attractive and safe, but it leads to death. He says, many shall say unto me, Lord, Lord, and they will hear, I never knew you. You know, we have the parable of the 10 virgins. 5 were ready and 5 weren't when the bridegroom came. How can we keep ourselves safe from dangers that we don't know about? Well, I think the answer is keeping close to and in the hands of the one that does know about them and that doesn't sleep. You know, it's dangerous to relax and underestimate the enmity of the enemy and the evil that is brought about by his sowing. You know, he seems that he's more concerned in areas where there is good seed than among evil. He knows he has them. They are safely his. But where Christians are growing, where the word of God is going forth in truth, he comes as a roaring lion or as an angel of light. And maybe it's easier to detect the roaring lion than when he comes as an angel of light. There's a story that it was in the newspapers back in early 2001, I believe it was. So I don't know if it's a confirmed true story or not, but it's of Lucas Sabanda. He was a South African. And it says he was walking along this remote path one day, minding his own business, when a python slithered out from behind some shrubs. Sabanda froze. Within seconds, the snake had wrapped itself around him and began constriction. He was trapped. When he came to his senses, he knew that, you know, unless he did something quickly, this was the end. He was going to die. And he decided to use the only tool he could think of, and he bit right below the head and was kicking and struggling with all his might. And finally, the snake released him. And he reportedly has the skin hanging on his wall at his house to prove his story. But regardless, I think it's, you know, he in that situation, it's a desperate situation. He could clearly see it. There was no doubt he was in danger. But, you know, as an angel of light, when things come in as partial truths, it's not as easy to see. And maybe sometimes we move too slowly. But, you know, we must resist evil with the same tenacity. Like the Old Testament writer Nehemiah says, we must fight for our children. We heard about that last Sunday. For our children, our homes. You know, we're in a battle. They say that in the early stages of the growth of the tare or the, it's so much like wheat that the two could hardly be distinguished. And that's why the farmer said that they couldn't take out the tares, because they would take out wheat with it, or corn, whatever this was. But you know, as time goes on, the true character of the tares is revealed. Seeds of the evil sown in the heart may not show up for a while. You know, wrong influences may seem very innocent for a while. Maybe we think that we can handle this, we can take care of this. But you know, with time, they show up if they're not taken care of. You know, the time for young people to keep their hearts with all diligence is in your youth. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. You know, the good will dwell with the bad in this world. We're in this world. We can't get out of it. We're here. But we don't need to be of it. The verse we had in our Sunday school lesson, this day come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. You know, every Christian should be a seed thrower, should be an evangelist, should be reaching out, eager in his desire and effort to bring others to Christ. But, you know, he's not giving because he says there would be tares with the wheat. I don't think he's given permission to lower our standard of morality or to compromise integrity. But one thing that is sure is that there will be a last and complete separation between the good and the evil. He says, the Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Our brother James mentioned this morning in Sunday school that is that final separation is something that all men will believe one day. You know, solemn words that should lead every professing child of God to carefully examine their hearts. You know, are we wheat or are we tares? Where do we find ourselves? In 1 John 2:1, I think we have the answers here. My little children, these things write unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby we know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. I believe the child of God is going to keep his commandments. And that's regardless of who he is or where he attends or what group he belongs to. That's the criteria that has to be there, is that they're keeping the commandments, that they're keeping the word of God. You know, we have the word, and that's not changed. Although Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I think that's the guide that we can go by. It is by abiding in him that we can look forward to the day that verse 43 talks about. You know, praise the Lord, he didn't stop with verse 42. But he says, then shall the righteous shine forth as a sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now, that's the blessing that the child of God can look forward to. That time when there will be no more tears, no more sorrows, no more struggles, nothing, those kind of things to deal with, those are all be past. We get to sit in the presence of the one who gave his life for us. Several weeks ago, someone shared a song with me, and it's been a real blessing to me. It's sung by a group from Africa. And I'm just going to give the words here in closing. It says, I could sing about heaven. There's a promised land, untouched by man, prepared for the saved and the blessed. A city built four square, far away somewhere, as a home for the saints to rest. So many have tried, but they couldn't describe all the beauties on that bright shore, for it's never entered into the hearts of men what the Father hath in store. I could sing about heaven for a million years and never get the story told of the jasper walls and the gates of pearl and the streets of pure gold. Even John the Revelator, in a heavenly vision, could never really say what he saw. I could sing about heaven for a million years, and I could never tell it all. From the throne there springs a glimmering stream of waters pure and sweet, and it flows by the tree of life on its way to the crystal sea. And the precious stones that the walls rest on are of 12 different kind, and the night will cease, for the Prince of Peace is the light that forever shines. Let's kneel for prayer.